at 9:06.
From New Hampshire Public Radio, I'm Laura Kanoy, and this is The Exchange. The union leader called it a vote for the ages. Yesterday's solid defeat in the New Hampshire House of a bill to bring one casino to the Granite State. House members rejected it by 35 votes and then by a wider margin prevented the bill from being reconsidered this session. Opponents like Democratic Representative Patricia Lovejoy of Stratham were in the majority, arguing that a casino would bring with it a whole host of ills.
New Hampshire will experience increased costs of crime. There'll be a negative effect on our charitable gaming. Abutting in nearby towns will be impacted, but there's no provisions in this bill for an impact studies for these towns. Casino advertising will dwarf the dread dollars that are spent on advertising the state's attributes as a vacation destination. And the gaming industry will have considerable influence on future legislatures.
The vote was a crushing defeat for gambling supporters who'd worked on this proposal for months, putting enormous amounts of time, study, and debate into the bill. One of them was Representative David Campbell, a Democrat from Nashua.
So before you push your button today, please remember what two-thirds of New Hampshire voters understand and what hopefully a majority of us will also recognize, that given the realities of gambling nationally, regionally, and right here in New Hampshire, the fiscal, budget, and social consequences of doing nothing are far worse than the alternative.
Today in The Exchange, as part of NHPR's week-long look at gambling, we examine this casino vote and what it means for the state moving forward. Let's hear from you. Are you relieved or disappointed that this proposal failed, and why? Give us a call, The Exchange number, 1-800-892-6477, 1-800-892-NHPR. Email us, exchange at nhpr.org, or post a comment on our Facebook page. We have three guests with us in studio. David Hess is here, Republican state representative from Hooksett and a longtime opponent of expanded gambling. And Representative Hess, good to see you. Thank you for being here.
Always a pleasure, Laura.
Also with us, Representative David Campbell, who we just heard from in the opening. He's a Democratic state rep from Nashua. He was the House's sponsor of the casino bill. And Representative Campbell, thank you also for your time this morning.
Good morning, Laura. I wasn't a sponsor, but I was a proponent.
A major backer. All right. And Josh Rogers is also here, State House reporter for NHPR. He's been following this debate closely. Josh, thanks again. It's been a busy week for you.
Good morning, Laura.
Well, and Josh, I want to turn to you first. Your reaction to this vote after watching this debate for a long time?
Well, in some ways, this debate was very similar to the debates, past debates in the House on casinos. You know, questions about proliferation, questions about social concerns versus, you know, a way to raise voluntary non-tax revenue. And, you know, we have the specter of casinos in Massachusetts looming over us this year, which added some urgency to it, as did the strong backing from Governor Hassan. That's something that's been largely absent from past casino debates. But in terms of the substance, there wasn't anything terribly new. One thing that was interesting about the debate yesterday was you know, the work that the House so-called super committee did, and you know, by combing over the bill as thoroughly as they did, we heard a great deal about the infirmities of the proposal passed by the Senate and the degree to which some of the bill's implications on the regulatory front, on the revenue front, you know, weren't fully fleshed out, and that was something that I think helped sink this.
Yeah, your reaction, Representative Hess, to this vote.
Well, I think the vote is instructive in this sense. Last year, the Republicans had a 3-1 majority in the House. We defeated a casino bill almost identical to this one by almost the exact same vote. This year, the Democrats control the House by about 60 votes. We defeated a very similar bill by almost exactly the same vote. There is strong, consistent opposition to casino gambling in New Hampshire in the House. And I think what I don't understand, and I know David is not a sponsor of the bill, and so this is not a jab at him. I don't understand why the sponsors of casino bills don't get it when we are able to defeat them, because the bills have so many weaknesses, so many infirmities, and they keep bringing the same language back year after year. But thank God for that.
Well, is it possible, are you saying, Representative Campbell, that, excuse me, Representative Hess, that a different type of gambling bill might have passed?
No, what I'm saying is this, Laura. I have made the same arguments in opposition to casino bills over the last decade. I make the same arguments. I would think that the proponents, Millennium and the advocates of casino gambling, would try and clean up these bills and take away some of my arguments and pry a few of these opposition votes away and turn them into affirmative votes. They haven't done that. So I just don't understand that. It doesn't make sense, particularly when these bills have been drafted by the lobbyists and the lawyers for the casino interests. And these folks know what they're doing.
Well, and we'll talk in a couple of minutes about some of the arguments that you did make that held the day yesterday. Your reaction to Representative Campbell to what happened? A disappointment for you, I'm sure.
It's disappointing, but I've been trying to put to analyze and put some perspective onto it, I looked at the numbers. 112 Democrats voted to defeat the ITL, basically were for the gaming bill. Excuse me, and 92 were against. 112 to 92 Democrats. And then the Republican vote was 107 to kill the bill and 52 the other way. It's about 2-1. I think that tells you a lot. The bill eventually lost by 30. I think it shows 112 to 92 that Governor Hassan did her job. I mean, she did get a majority of the Democratic caucus in spite of most of the Democratic House leadership being against it. I think there are three reasons why it seems to me that there are representatives who oppose it. First is moral. I think there's some people just morally are against gaming, and they're never going to be for it no matter what version it is and what it does. Then I think there's a political dynamic to the vote yesterday, and that is in the sense that a lot of Republicans have no desire to help Governor Hassan pass anything, balance a budget or do anything. I think there was a large part of that yesterday. Both Gene Chandler's longtime opponent, but Bill O'Brien and the House Republican Alliance, they were against it last, and they almost unanimously voted against it, even though a lot of them were for it last time when Bill O'Brien was Speaker. And then there's a strategy which Representative Hess alluded to a little bit, which I call it the death by a thousand cuts. They raised so many questions, place so many doubts and even call them fears, that it's hard for many representatives, especially I think freshmen, to vote for it. I mean, they raise problems with the regulation, even though 41 states have it. They said the revenue estimates were off. They said the social costs were high and gambling addiction is a bad thing, even though 75% of the ills we're supposed to get because of Massachusetts. But we still raise those issues. And then my favorite strategy was that they say on one side, well, one casino is a monopoly, and that's wrong. And the other side is, but if we vote for this, we'll have more than one, and that's proliferation. So they're playing many casinos against one casino, and in the end, a lot of people were, you know, either confused or troubled by that, and I think that contributed to the negative vote.
You know, Josh Rogers, I want to pick up on something that both our representatives said. The political nature of this, remind us how gambling plays as a partisan issue, because it really doesn't play as a partisan issue.
I mean, it doesn't. I mean, traditionally, the polls of both caucuses, conservatives among Republicans, liberals, particularly on tax policy among Democrats, just think gambling's a bad idea and distasteful. Republicans, because they think it's going to increase the size of government ultimately, and for moral reasons. Liberals, for moral reasons, and also because they would prefer to raise revenue through new taxes. So it doesn't tend to cleave along party lines. That leaves the middle of the road is where, you know, the battle has tended to be fought. You know, I do think it's interesting that and I'm not sure I entirely agree with Representative Campbell about the first vote on the ITL motion, whether or not that was actually amounted to support for a casino or just a willingness to continue the debate and allow amendments to be produced, whether or not I mean, it's tough to get a bill through the House, and the
400
you know,
lawmakers.
The politics are what it is. It's you know, people traditionally, it's like you can, you know, you sort of work the middle to try to pass gambling, and obviously you've got 400 reps or a lot of parochial interests. What's it going to do to my community in a way that you don't have in the Senate? And I think this complicated things for Governor Hassan. I think it's true that you know, when you have it's easy to vote against a policy supported by a governor of another party. And so I do think that did play into some of the Republican voting on this bill. But I mean, one thing the governor did do is that she decided that her best approach to get this passed was to essentially get on board with what the Senate wanted, go along with them, It was only after amendments were not considered by the super committee and then were similarly not considered yesterday that these policies became important to her. Up until they weren't considered, we didn't hear anything from her about how we needed to consider these aspects of the bill that were of concern to critics. And, you know, so it's tough for her. I mean, she says she's going to work to continue to achieve the priorities she wants. And, you know, she made a decision to stick $80 million in her budget. The House thought that was unwise. And, you know, as we work our way through budget season, I guess we'll see where this ends up.
Well, and let's play a little bit now of what the governor said yesterday, since we're talking about her reaction and where she goes from here.
I'm obviously really disappointed in the outcome of the vote because I think the New Hampshire House didn't listen to the people of New Hampshire about the priorities that they support and about the way of funding those priorities that they support.
Again, that's Governor Hassan reacting to the rejection by the House yesterday of a casino bill that she and the state Senate had strongly supported. The number for you to join us, 1-800-892-6477. Email exchange at nhpr.org. We want your reaction, thoughts, questions about this big casino vote in the House yesterday. 1-800-892-6477. And just picking up on what the governor said there, Representative Hess, she said she was disappointed the House didn't listen to the people of New Hampshire. Polls have shown us that, what is it, about two-thirds of New Hampshire residents say, yeah, this is a good idea.
Well, first of all, the polls have been in flux. One of the recent polls did show, I think, a 61 or 62% favorability on expanded gambling. But the polls weren't done on this particular bill. And what I like to point out is the representatives, we have 400 members in the House. If you take a national poll, you poll 400 people, your accuracy for the entire public opinion survey nationwide is plus or minus about 3%. So the New Hampshire House is an accurate reflection of the public opinion throughout the state. And I believe, I firmly believe, that if the people of the state of New Hampshire knew as much about this bill as the representatives knew about the bill, the vote would have been exactly the same popular-wise.
All right. Well, after a short break, we'll get reaction from our audience. We'll also hear from some people who played a big role in this debate, adding their voices on both sides. The number for you to join us, 1-800-892-6477. Email exchange at nhpr.org.
This is NHPR 919. Good morning. And you just have until 7 o'clock this evening to get into our drawing for tickets to see Paul McCartney in concert. Make a donation to NHPR right now. You're automatically entered to win the tickets to Paul's concert at Fenway Park in July, along with overnight accommodations. Make a gift to NHPR today at 1-888-639-4131 or go to nhpr.org. Remember the deadline, 7 o'clock this evening. Support for NHPR comes from UR members in Southern New Hampshire University's doctoral program in educational leadership for professionals ready to lead schools into the 21st century, snhu.edu/EDD. From the law firm of Raff, Young & Pignatelli, serving the business and nonprofit community, national impact, uniquely New Hampshire, on the web at rafflaw.com. And Dr. William Sutherland of Sports Medicine Atlantic Orthopedics of Portsmouth in York, whose recent public lecture on back and leg pain is available online at smao.org. This is NHPR.
This is The Exchange. I'm Laura Kanoy. Today in The Exchange, we're looking at the gambling debate in the House yesterday, the vote to reject a casino bill from the Senate. We're looking at what happened and also what's next for this state after this vote. We invite you to join us, 1-800-892-6477. Email is exchange at nhpr.org. Again, 1-800-892-6477. One of the items that we'll be looking at is the impact on the state budget. The House did not include gambling revenues in its budget, but the Senate did. Let's hear now Senate President Peter Bragdon and his take on what the Senate will do now that gambling is out of the picture.
The Senate budget, you know, we don't plan any tax or fee increases, and, you know, this is not going in, so I don't see any other revenue sources being proposed.
Again, that's Peter Bragdon, Senate President, talking about the budget, where it might go from here now that gambling is not going to be part of the picture. The number for you to join us, 1-800-892-6477. Email exchange at nhpr.org. Our guests are Josh Rogers, State House reporter for NHPR, Representative David Campbell, a Democrat from Nashua, supporter of the casino bill, and David Hess, a Republican state rep from Hooksett, and a longtime gambling opponent. One more time, the exchange number for you to join us, 1-800-892-6477. Email is exchange@nhpr.org. And gentlemen, here's several emails that have come in already. Here's one from Christopher in Manchester. He said, it's toward the end of the casino drama, there was lots of talk about the freshman Democrats. Their views were widely unknown, and it was speculated they might carry the day for the governor. Did most end up voting against the bill? And what are the theories as to why she couldn't keep them into the fold? Now, Josh, we talked about this a little bit earlier, but go ahead if you could give Christopher a little more information there.
Well, I haven't have a precise count of how all the freshman Democrats voted, but I do think it's fair to note that 112 Democrats did vote to keep the debate going on this. Whether that necessarily translated into ultimately voting for passage of a casino bill, we'll never know. But so the governor did carry the majority of the caucus along.
Yeah. What do you think? You want to jump in there, David Campbell?
Well,
you're a Democrat.
That's basically a 20-vote margin. From talking to people on the floor, though, I disagree with Josh a little bit. That vote did not reflect so much as people wanted to hear the amendments. In fact, Representative Hess did a great job of saying, because we just spent 2 hours on loons and everybody wants to see the Bruins game tomorrow night, if we start debating the amendments, we'll be here all night. I don't think people necessarily – I think people are voting pretty much up or down on the bill on that vote.
Okay. And is there a possibility – this is the big question, and I'll ask all of you. Maybe you first, Representative Campbell. Is there a possibility that this comes back? Because in past gambling debates, it gets defeated and then it comes back later as part of a budget negotiation. We just heard that sound from Senate President Bragdon saying no taxes.
Well, under the rules of the House – this cannot come back next session. Certainly the
you mean this session?
Next session.
Next session.
Under the rules of the House, it can't come back the next session. If you kill a bill, it cannot come back next session. Can it come back in another form from a Senate bill? I guess it could, given the margin of the vote. I don't know how that would work. But the Senate – this happens all the time where things are killed and the Senate will amend it on another bill and send it back over.
Right. That's why I asked.
That's in the realm of possibility. I can barely figure out the House. I can't figure out the Senate.
David Hess and Josh Rogers. Josh?
What we've heard so far of the Senate is that they're not envisioning doing that. Like Representative Campbell, time will tell. But that's their game plan at present is to craft a budget without gambling in it.
Because sometimes in the past, Josh, right, correct me if I'm wrong, this will come back as sort of a last-minute Hail Mary as part of the budget negotiations.
Anything's possible to be proposed, I guess, but it's not likely to happen.
Not likely.
One of the unusual things here, I think Dave Campbell is absolutely correct. It's not going to come back this year and probably may not even next year. One of the important things and significant things this year was that both the Senate President, Peter Bragdon, and Chuck Morris, the chair of Senate Finance, said publicly and repeatedly, if the House kills gambling, they're not going to try and sneak it back into the budget. Now, there was an attempt to do that back in 2006 when Governor Hassan was majority leader, and there was a big fight in the Committee of Conference with the Senate advocating putting casino gambling into the budget. Governor Lynch and the House opposed it, and ultimately that did not succeed. I don't see that happening this year. I think Dave Campbell and Josh are absolutely correct.
Well, there were a lot of voices involved in this debate this year, perhaps more than we've heard in years past.
I just want to clarify. I'm saying it can't come back next session. The Senate has the capability, if they wish, to bring it back this session. Yeah.
All right. I want to bring another voice into our conversation, gentlemen. This is Joe Casey, president of the New Hampshire Building and Construction Trades Council. His group was in support of expanded gambling. And Joe Casey, thanks for your time. We appreciate it.
Well, thanks for having me on. I appreciate it. Good morning, everybody.
Were you surprised yesterday, Joe, to this vote in the House defeating the gambling bill?
Yes, I was very surprised. I thought for sure that the House would have at least listened to the amendments and, got into a serious debate on this serious issue.
Why do you think the arguments that you and others put forward, Joe, about jobs and helping the budget and economic development, especially the construction jobs from your perspective, why do you think those weren't convincing enough to House members?
Well, I have no idea. I mean, we certainly got the message out. Since 2006, there's 10,000 jobs lost in the construction industry, and we certainly got that message out. And I have no idea why they fell on deaf ears.
Why that message wasn't heard. Are you still with us there, Joe? Your phone sounded like it was going out there for a minute.
No,
Okay, good. You're still there. You know, the jobs argument that opponents made was that the construction jobs were temporary, that the permanent jobs weren't great, low paying and so forth. How did you folks counter that argument?
Well, the construction industry and my people, you know, look at our as electricians and whatnot. We look at it as a career. And, you know, that's what I heard was, and I hope every construction worker heard what the House said, that our jobs are temporary in their eyes. And it's pretty disturbing when you try to get a career in 30, 40 years in the construction industry and your representatives look at you as a temporary worker.
Yeah, because even though a particular job may be temporary, you're a construction worker for life. That's what you're saying.
That's correct. Yeah. I mean, you know, this was at least a $600 million project that, you know, about 50% would go right into the pockets and wages and benefits to the construction industry. And all construction workers would have benefited when you have a job of that size. This job was second to only Seabrook Station in size for construction in the state of New Hampshire. It was a massive project, at least $600 million. And so many people would have benefited from it, families throughout the state of New Hampshire.
What do you hope happens from here, Joe, if anything? Any hopes that this will be revived, or are you pretty much giving up and moving on?
No, I certainly hope that this will be revived. You know, the construction industry really needs a boost here in the state of New Hampshire. We look to our legislative leaders, and as far as we're concerned, they failed us, they failed the governor, and they failed our great Senate.
Okay. Joe Casey, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you.
That's Joe Casey, again, president of the New Hampshire Building and Construction Trades Council. The number for you to join us is 1-800-892-6477. Email exchange@nhpr.org. And I guess, Representative Hess, a quick thought from you on that disappointment we heard from Joe Casey. You know, these were good jobs. He said we need them. The state needs the revenue and so forth. He's pretty disappointed with you and your vote.
Well, I haven't focused on the jobs issue very much, particularly in construction. But there are several observations that I think we need to make. There was no hint that $600 million was going to be put into construction on this project until about a week ago. The bill that we voted down yesterday provided for $425 million in capital investment, of which 80 was going to be in the licensing fee and another for the purchase of Rockingham Park. Let's call that $200 million. So the construction envisioned by the bill that we defeated yesterday was only about $200 million worth. Secondly, I certainly agree with Joe that this is would have been probably the largest project short of Seabrook Station in the history of New Hampshire. But one of the other speakers, Patty Lovejoy, in opposition to the bill, as I was, pointed out that when the Merrimack outlets were built, the vast majority of the construction workers for that project came from out of state. And they weren't from in-state employers.
Although other states have written bills to make sure that there's a fair amount of in-state benefit,
No, that's not true. You can't write bills like that.
You can't.
That is a violation of federal law and constitutional law. You can have inducements, quote unquote, to encourage local hiring, but you cannot discriminate based upon locale or residency. So that is a fallacy. That happened to be an argument that was being circulated by some people, not Representative Campbell, but some other people. You can't do that.
Our phone number again for you to join us is 1-800-892-6477. Email is exchange@nhpr.org. And here's an email from Sean in Manchester who says, as a voter, it is very frustrating that the casino vote failed. Where do the opponents think the state is going to raise revenue? We've lost another battle to the economically stronger states nearby, primarily Massachusetts and Maine. We've lost a great revenue source. Once again, New Hampshire has decided against a great revenue source that 40 plus other states are using successfully. Again, that's from Sean in Manchester. And this gets us, Josh, into the sort of what's next part of this. Governor Haslam was counting on this for her budget. The Senate didn't have it included in its budget, but it did count on it for revenues for roads and higher education. So what happens now, budget-wise, given that there's no casino revenue?
That's a good question. We'll see. The Senate is, crafting a plan that's, per Senate President Bragdon, is not going to include any increased taxes and fees. So, people who watch the budget know what that's going to look like in terms of the numbers, basically. So it'll we'll see what the House can do to reach agreement. It might be a long summer. Governor Hassan says she's going to continue to advocate for the spending that she feels is essential for the budget. So it may be late May, but we've got a ways to go.
And we heard that sound earlier from Senate President Peter Bragdon. Josh, did you want to also comment on what he said? Look, don't count on us to raise these gas taxes.
Well, they're going to be considering that today. And obviously that's an issue that Representative Campbell is in the thick of. But, what's your prognosis there? I mean, are you assuming it's...
I'm hopeful that it isn't ITL'd so that it can be considered
ITL's inexpedient
legislated. It's not killed. I hope it's not killed so it can be considered in some form, because transportation funding was put into this casino bill, and the House's position is, of course, the gas tax, the road toll increase, which is phased in. And if that's not done, transportation funding is not going to happen. Roads and bridges and DOT are going to take a major, major hit. I at some point I'd like to comment on the those last two, Joe Casey and...
Sure, go ahead.
Yeah, Joe Casey and your email. This kind of highlights to me a problem that I think we have with the voters. Over two-thirds of the people are consistently saying they're for it. There may be disconnect here again. Three of the last four elections, the majority party in the House has been thrown out of office. Two of the last four elections... The majority party in the Senate's been thrown out of the office, showing a disconnect. What do the people want? They want jobs. They talk about jobs and the economy. The casino was about jobs and, to a lot of people, the economy. The voters have rejected extreme political ideology. They want us to solve problems. They want us to work together. They want common sense. They want moderation, and they want fiscal responsibility. They see that as, to some extent, a casino being a first step for that. They don't want to be taxed when they can have a voluntary source of income. So I'm concerned that, we may be setting ourselves up for a disconnect with the voters.
Here's another email from a voter, presumably. Bruce says, I am proud that New Hampshire voted down the measure. In my view, looking to gambling to alleviate the need to face the budget issues head on is a cop-out. Legal gaming may someday be a wise move, but not as a means to balance the budget. So that's contradictory to what you just said, Representative Campbell.
Well, again, it's not unanimous, I just feel that the people who are opposed to this have heartfelt and reasonable reasons to be against it. I just feel that a majority of people, voters, from a lot of polling, not just one poll, show that they're for this type of revenue.
All right.
I mean, one complicating factor is that, as these fellows know, legislators have to vote on specific proposals. And, do you feel, Representative Campbell, that a different gambling bill might have achieved a different result?
Possibly. But I also know that the voters really say, I'm for this issue. You people figure it out. You solve the problems. I think that's true on most bills. People are for the major issue, and they want us to work together to figure out the details. To say the details are the reason we voted against something doesn't ring really true with voters, I don't believe.
Thanks for that email. On all these other emails that have come in, if you want to chime in with an email, exchange@nhpr.org. You can also post a comment on our Facebook page or give us a call, 1-800-892-6477, 1-800-892-NHPR. As we talk about this big gambling vote in the House yesterday that went down to defeat, are you excited that it was defeated? Are you glad, or are you disappointed? Again, our number, 1-800-892-6477. Email exchange@nhpr.org. And I wanted to ask all of you about the prospect of Massachusetts moving ahead with gambling, because that came up a lot, Josh. Just remind us what some of those arguments were in terms of Massachusetts moving ahead. It seems like supporters and opponents both use that argument to their benefit.
Well, I mean, mainly, I mean, certainly supporters would say we're going to be bearing the social costs and we're going to have our citizens gambling down there. And so we're going to be the poorer for Massachusetts having casinos. And, certainly opponents say that, we're not going to be able to compete with the Massachusetts casinos. So essentially what we're going to be doing is rather than drawing outsiders into the state to leave some of their money here, we're going to be have a clientele that's going to be entirely local, thereby magnifying the local social costs.
Yeah. What do you think, David Hess? How did Massachusetts play into this?
Massachusetts plays into it very ambiguously. First of all, everybody, all the experts are pretty united that the gambling problems and the gamblers are directly related to the travel time to and from a casino, except for the occasional really big destination resorts. Basically, two-thirds of a casino's clientele comes from a 30-mile drive radius. And if you look at the Massachusetts prospective locations, there will be very, very few New Hampshire people within that 30-mile drive radius. Now, obviously, there are going to be others that are going to go down there. So the argument which Representative Campbell made very effectively yesterday was, you know, we are going to be losing some revenue in terms of lost lottery sales, probably. Maybe not a reduction, but a slower growth, perhaps a little bit of loss in rooms and meals tax, et cetera, which the Center for Public Policy has indicated. On the other hand, the indication from their same study was that if we had a casino in, say, Salem, the state would still suffer a net loss because of the social costs and law enforcement expenses resulting from that. So, you know, it's hard to say. The argument has been made by many people that we've got to get into the fight and get there first if we're going to have a chance. But the experience in Atlantic City contradicts that. The biggest, most flashy casino in Atlantic City, the Revel, came online about a year ago. They went bankrupt earlier this year, less than 12 months into existence. The biggest, flashiest casino. They couldn't compete with the Pennsylvania casinos and the new New York casinos because those are closer to the clientele. And Atlantic City's revenue is down about between 25% and 30% as a result of the Pennsylvania, Delaware, and New York proliferation.
What do you think about that argument, Representative Campbell? Others have made it, too, that, you know, pardon the pun, but gambling's not a sure bet. I mean, the industry's had its ups and downs, especially with the recession.
What is a sure bet is there'll be three casinos in Massachusetts within a 90-minute drive of over half of the population of New Hampshire. And as a result, we are going to lose revenue to them. The estimate was between the lost revenue and the revenue that we would have gained, it could be about $150 million a year. You add that up over, you know, decades, it's billions of dollars with a B. And the problem is that the difference between a responsible budget, a budget that helps people, and a hurtful budget is sometimes $100, $200 million. It's that spread right there. We need that kind of revenue for going forward, and we passed on it yesterday.
All right. We will take more of your calls and emails after a short break. 1-800-892-6477.
NHPR's drawing for two tickets to see Paul McCartney's July 9th concert at Fenway Park is coming to a close. Today is your last chance to enter the drawing to see a rock legend at a legendary ballpark. So there's no time to lose. Call now 1-800-639-4131 or go to nhpr.org. Before it's all over.
This is NHPR, where support comes from you, our members, and from Lake Street Garden Center. For 40 years, specializing in plants grown for New England's environment, Lake Street Garden Center in Salem, New Hampshire, online at lakestreet.com. And from Jensen Communities, with six locations in New Hampshire, including the New Brookridge community in Hooksett. One floor living in safe, friendly neighborhoods, jensencommunities.com. Good morning, it's 9:40. This is NHPR.
This is The Exchange. I'm Laura Kanoy. Tomorrow in The Exchange, our Friday New Hampshire News Roundup. Email us your questions before the program at exchange@nhpr.org and join us tomorrow morning live at 9. Today in The Exchange, we're getting reaction to the vote yesterday in the House against bringing a casino to the Granite State. Join us with your reactions, your thoughts. Are you happy with this vote or not? 1-800-892-6477. Email exchange@nhpr.org. Again, 1-800-892-6477. I want to bring another voice into our conversation, someone who participated in the debate on this. Nikki Clark is with us. She's Executive Director of the Capital Center for the Arts in Concord. And Nikki Clark, welcome. Thanks for your time.
Thank you very much, Laura.
Well, you and other entertainment venues like the Fisher Cats, like the Music Hall, like the Verizon Center, all came together to oppose gambling. Was this the first time that you had all joined forces to speak against this?
Yes. This definitely was the first time that, you know, it all kind of coalesced, because it is a real direct threat to our existence, because of the casinos have in them entertainment venues, and those, what we were really seeing is, and we did research into what have casinos have done, and I obviously can't speak to the Fisher Cats, but I can speak to the arts part of it, that there's sort of a pot of money if people have for discretionary spending, and when casinos come in, it shifts, and the actual entertainment venues that are in a casino have the ability, because they pay above market prices, to essentially not allow anybody else to get the headliner names, which we all use to get people into our venue, and for those of us like the Music Hall, like the Colonial in Keene, and like the Lebanon Opera House, those big-name artists where we make a little bit of money if we have good sellout nights in our theater help us do all the community-based work that we do.
Do we know that people shift their entertainment dollars so quickly and readily, or is that just a fear?
Well, I mean, we looked at, there was a study done in Missouri, and that showed that the industry that was most affected when casinos came in was the entertainment and amusement industries. So that's where the money shifted away from, you know, because people, decided to go check out the new place to see Willie Nelson, you know. And the casinos really use those performers as loss leaders, and we can't compete. We can't get those kinds of headliner acts anymore, and they use, you know, they give away free tickets and meal tickets and things like that to their heavier gamblers. So it's a way for them, it's a way that we really can't compete with them.
I was, less surprised by the Verizon Center's opposition, since it's not that far from southern New Hampshire, where this casino was mostly being proposed by most people, although there wasn't a specific proposal that was in the bill. But you're in Concord, you mentioned the theater in Lebanon, the music halls in Portsmouth. That's a fair drive from the Massachusetts border, where a lot of people thought this casino would be.
Right. But one of the things is that casinos also put exclusionary clauses. So let's say, you know, I wanted to book Bill Cosby, but if he was going to the casino in Salem, I wouldn't be allowed to get Bill Cosby. So, you know, we all were affected, because they use sometimes a 100-mile radius, and it's not far to get. I mean, we were not that, I think it was like, is it 38 miles to Salem from here or something? You know, it wasn't that far. So we still could be. And we certainly have. I mean, one of the other ways to look at this as well, I'll use them. We just had Mary Chapin Carpenter and Sharon Colvin in our building. And I always look at where do our audiences come. And we actually draw from Massachusetts.
Really?
If you want to see, yeah, the second, 50% of our audience for that show was outside our, you know, what we look at as our sort of Merrimack Valley communities. So 50% of our audience was farther than that, because I wanted to see these two people perform. And in that 50%, the largest group was from Massachusetts. So we do draw people in if they want to see these, you know, bigger name headliners, because we may have a date that people are available, or they want to see it, or they don't want to hassle with parking and, you know, pay more in Boston. They'll drive north, because our interstates are great here in New Hampshire, and you can get to Concord very, very easily.
Okay, so here's another question for you, and this is a little outside your purview as the head of an art center, but I want to ask you anyway, Nikki, since you mentioned our roads here are great. Supporters of gambling said, look, we need the money for roads, for, you know, community development, maybe even for programs that might be important to downtown arts venues like yours, whether it's arts funding or downtown development. What do you think about the prospect of now not having these dollars in the budget?
Well, there are lots of different ways, and they're always very, very hard. And I am certainly not an expert in all the ways that states can create revenue.
Sure.
It's hard for me to say that we should do this. You know, I certainly am a person that would like to have more revenue sources for this state to do more. I do think, you know, that was part of the reason why there was support for it, is people say, oh, we do need to fund education, we do need to fund our roads, we do need to do this. And actually, if you put that whole long list. It was more than I think this money was going to come in for the casino anyway. But I do think I think the uniqueness and the wonderfulness of New Hampshire, we've got to do it another way. That's all I can say, is we've got to do it another way. I don't think that the casino was going to really bring in the revenue. I just think when I see what's happened in the other states that I checked in with, it just feels like, you know, we wouldn't get there. We wouldn't really, because I don't see I see the decline that's happening in those other states with their casinos, and maybe 5 years would have a good thing, but then the revenues start to drop. So I don't know it was a long-term solution. So
okay. Nikki Clark, thank you very much for your time.
I really appreciate it. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
That's Nikki Clark, Executive Director at the Capital Center for the Arts. As we said, she and other theater directors got together and spoke out against this bill. As she said, it was the first time they'd done that. The number for you to join us, 1-800-892-6477. Representative Campbell, quick comment from you.
Well, the late intervention of the performing arts, some of the performing arts centers, was a new wrinkle in this year's opposition. But I would like to say that Representative Peter Ramsey, who is one of the strongest proponents of the gaming bill in our caucus, is the executive director of the Palace Theater. And they were even mentioned in the Concord Monitor editorial yesterday, mentioning this factor. He said he didn't think it will have any effect on Palace Theater, and Palace Theater is one of the major performing arts centers in the state of New Hampshire.
Josh?
I did think the concern among the city of Manchester for the Verizon Center was a sort of an interesting and sort of somewhat unexpected part of this debate, and does get at the tension between whether or not a casino might hurt local businesses. I mean, because as a part of the state, Manchester is about as pro-gambling a community as you can get, and yet even representatives there, aldermen, Mayor Gatsas, and Mayor Gatsas is pro-gambling, but of a different sort than envisioned in this casino. We're concerned there. So it was an interesting tension, as well as, some of the testimony of Clyde Barrow, who's a gambling expert and has worked as a consultant to casinos. He's a professor at UMass Dartmouth, was talking about in the super committee about how, an increasing part of the casino business is not actually direct gambling. It is sort of more the lifestyle, nightclubs, that as many as 20% of the people who visit casinos don't actually wager. And so that does raise interesting issues.
All right, let's take
a call. Are very real cannibalization issues with casinos nationwide, wherever they come in. There's a fixed dollar amount, not a fixed, but a pretty inflexible dollar amount for discretionary spending. And Clyde Barrow himself said that the gambling money spent on gambling in New England is only about a third of the national average. So
we're not big gamblers to begin with.
We're not big gamblers, but we will be when the casinos arrive, and that money that is going to go into gambling is going to be sucked out of the rest of the economy. That's why the hospitality industry is almost unanimously opposed to this.
Let's take a call or two if we could. And Jerry is joining us on Nashua. Hi, Jerry. You're on the phone. Go ahead.
Good morning, Laura. First of all, I'm not a fan of gambling. However, when I see the option of seeing the gambling dollars leave the state of New Hampshire and the option of having a casino in the state, I'm certainly in favor of having a casino in the state. That said, I don't think the Rockingham site is the best site for the casino. As one of your guests just said, 20 to 30% of the people who attend gambling facilities don't gamble. And because of that, we need a facility that's going to have a hotel, a convention center, a golf course, all of the amenities that the people that are looking for entertainment require. And because of that, I'm in favor of the site that's been proposed in Hudson at Green Meadow, because they would offer all of those facilities.
Well, Jerry, what about the idea of more than one site? I mean, some people said they didn't have a problem with gambling, but they didn't appreciate that really everybody was kind of talking about one site.
Well, if you have more than one site, then what you're talking about are sites in the Lakes region, and then a site maybe up in Littleton, up in the White Mountains. And when you start talking about that, you're not going to get the draw that you're going to get out of the state of Massachusetts, which, let's face it, is going to be the gold ring out of this whole proposal.
Okay, yeah. What do you think, David Campbell? This was an issue for some lawmakers. They said, I might be okay with gambling like our caller, but I don't like this particular proposal and the way that it all seems to be focused at Rockingham Park and Millennium Gaming.
Well,
People said Millennium even wrote the
book. Yeah, it would have to go out to bid. But, I mean, the logical choice was the Salem site only because it was the site that was chosen since 1906 to be the racetrack that competed with Suffolk successfully for years. It has the infrastructure. It's on the border. It's near 495, 95, 93. I mean, it had all the right attributes, I think, for a site. And I think that's why a lot of people considered that would be the site.
What do you think, Representative Hess? Was that a problem for you, or you would have opposed it no matter what?
No. Well, it was a problem for a number of people because the way the bill was written, with the timelines involved, in fact, Attorney Jay Leonard, who represents the Green Meadow folks in Hudson, came to before our subcommittee and specifically stated they could not submit a competitive bid under the timeline set in this bill. The bill was basically rigged for Millennium and for one site. We use that argument to a considerable advantage, we think.
There were several problems with the Senate version that were addressed by the long and hard work of the people who worked in that super subcommittee that were going to be addressed in the omnibus amendment, including that one. But that never saw the light of day yesterday because of the first vote.
Most of us in opposition didn't think that amendment even started to solve the problems of SB 152. I mean, this was massive, and it couldn't be fixed. It was like a water-filled balloon. Every time you squeeze it one place,
the death by a thousand cuts.
You provided the cuts, David.
I mean, I do think one thing to Jerry's point that is interesting and gets at the way in which at least Governor Hassan probably more than others tried to sell this bill as a high-end casino, and in that most of the discussion centered around Rockingham Park, and most of the discussion centered around Millennium Gaming, and if you look at Millennium's casinos elsewhere, while highly successful, are not particularly high end, and Bill Wortman, the CEO, freely admits that what their company specializes in is, more of a, for lack of a better term, kind of blue collar gaming experience, like clean, well run facilities. The casino out in Pennsylvania, has a bowling alley. But the question about whether you could build a destination casino in Salem is, a reasonable one, I think.
Well, again, given the competition from Massachusetts, where I think the developer was going to put in $1 billion.
Over a billion. They're talking about $1.2 to $1.6 billion.
I mean, there would have been other higher costs associated with that, so it's hard to know, but that was certainly a fear.
Let's get another call in, and this is Beth waiting in Peterborough. Hi, Beth. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I moved from Washington State, and I lived there for most of my life, for over 30 years. And so I watched, I don't know how long ago it was, maybe 15 or 20 years ago, when they decided that it would be okay to put in casinos on Indian tribal lands. And, in no way would I say that that's the only problem that the state has. And I don't know all the ins and outs of it. I'm not an expert on the issue. But what I saw, as somebody who lived there in a really beautiful pastoral state, much like New Hampshire in many ways, was these casinos being built, huge facilities, lots of lights and parking lots, and, coming into places that had been cow pastures. And they built them all over the state, and, just awful, ugly billboards went up everywhere. And what I think is even more disturbing is that over the years, they have decided that they need to build a mall next to each one so that people can spend their winnings right there. And it's really, in my opinion, changed the face of the state for the worse. So while I don't think that it would have been, awful to have one facility down in Salem along the Massachusetts border, I seriously doubt that if that had passed and come to fruition, that it would have been the end of it. And I think that once you get income from something like that, the natural inclination is to say, well, let's build more of these because this is a great stream of revenue.
The proliferation argument that we talked about and that people made. She's picking up something that we haven't talked about too much, Representative Campbell. This is more of a philosophical opposition, but, it ruins, they say, like Beth, it would ruin New Hampshire's image. It would change the face of the state, as she put it. We're known for mountains and lakes and beautiful vistas, not billboards and
shopping malls. If we were an oasis free from gambling, that would be true. But gambling exists all over the state right now. We have charitable gaming. We have Lucky 7 tabs. And more importantly, it's coming to Massachusetts. It's going to be within a very short drive. So all those things and all the only difference is going to be that Massachusetts can get all the revenue instead of New Hampshire getting its share. And that's really, I see, the only difference because of the fact that the casino is going to be in Salem and not all over the state.
I want to ask you a last political question, if I could, Josh Rogers. And Governor Hassan really, really was out front on this, very open about it during her campaign, made lots and lots of conversations, debates. She sat down with any lawmaker that wanted to talk to her about this. How does this affect her politically? Is this a big political blow for the governor or not?
Well, we'll see. Republicans would certainly, at least, you know, really partisan Republicans would certainly have you believe that this is a, you know, a crushing defeat for Governor Hassan. You know, we'll see what happens with the budget. I mean, the reality of being governor is that you get blamed for things in a way that legislators don't. And so, you know, we'll see what comes out of the budget. You know, a lot of this may rest on her, even though that, you know, she may not, you know, end up having a you know, too powerful hand. I mean, she can obviously veto a budget. We'll see. I mean, but this was she stuck her neck out there in a way that, Governor Lynch didn't do so much on issues. So she deserved credit for fighting for, you know, what she believed to be the best thing. And I guess we'll see.
All right, Josh, thanks a lot for being with us.
You're welcome.
Josh Rogers, State House reporter for NHPR, and Representative David Hess, good to see you. Thank you for being here as
Thanks again, Laura.
That's David Hess, a Republican state rep from Hooksett. And David Campbell, good to see you too. Thank you.
Thank you, Laura.
That's Republican David Campbell, a Democratic state representative from Nashua. The Exchange is a production of New Hampshire Public Radio. Our engineer is Dan Colgan. Our producer is Ellen Grimm. Our intern is Faith Meixel. Our theme music was composed by Bob Lord. The Exchange's executive producer is Keith Shields, and I'm Laura Kanoy.